Anesthesia Deconstructed is supported by National University's CRNA program. National University's CRNA program is one of the nation's top programs for CRNAs and dedicated to making you a successful CRNA. The program doesn't just prepare you for entry-level practice. National focuses on making you a full-service provider and gives you insight into what is actually happening in the industry. With connections to faculty with backgrounds in advanced clinical practice, academics, research, and anesthesia services management. Learn more at nu.edu.
Welcome to Anesthesia Deconstructed, science, politics, realities. Listen in as medical professionals join industry experts, Dr. Mike McKinnon and Dr. Joseph Rodriguez, to discuss the latest science and medical advancements, the effects of our political climate, and the reality of today's changing healthcare environment. Let's get started with your hosts, Dr. Mike McKinnon and Dr. Joseph Rodriguez.
Hey everybody, Joe here. Had the opportunity to interview Tanner Hulin and Cole Dill. They are the co-founders and producers of Core Anesthesia Podcast, which evolved from just a way to study for boards into a really a full-fledged continuing education business. They connect with an audience that's about 10 years older than I am. So this was a cool collaboration just to touch base and hear what they have going on. They're trying to expand into newer markets with, you know, more mature CRNAs. And I hope you enjoy the conversation. I enjoy talking to them. Enjoy.
Welcome to Anesthesia Deconstructed. A very special guest today. We have the owners of Core Anesthesia, an educational company based out of some state that starts with an I. Is it Indiana or Illinois? I don't know. Which is it, guys?
It fluctuates. Currently, it's based on Illinois.
It fluctuates.
Yeah.
Okay. Somewhere in the ether between Illinois and Indiana. So Cole Dill and Tanner Hulin. Tanner, why don't you start? Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourselves?
Yeah, happy to be here. Thanks for having us. We are, like you said, owners of Core Anesthesia. This is a platform that we built while we were in school. And I know we'll dive into that here as we talk more, but just about us personally, I graduated from a program in Illinois about 2 years ago and practiced my first year out of school in Arizona. And yeah, been great. I moved back to Indiana just a couple months ago. We have an 8-month-old son, Brooks, and time to be closer to family. So we packed everything up, moved across the country again, and now I'm working here in Indiana. So spending my time doing Core Anesthesia and the typical day in the OR. So yeah, that's me, and we're excited to be here. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, absolutely. And Cole, what about you?
Yeah, thanks for having us, Joe. Like you said, I'm Cole Dill. I live in Illinois. I met Tanner in anesthesia school a few years ago. We ended up starting the business Core Anesthesia. I'm from Illinois. I stayed here after graduating, working just a couple minutes from my hometown. So it's kind of nice. I'm a family-centered person, so my wife and I always say we'd love to move out of Illinois, but we'd have to move as a big clump with our family. So we're pretty much
right,
stuck
the whole clan.
Exactly. Yeah, so Tanner's kind of bounced around a little bit, and I've kind of been sitting in the spot I've been born and raised in Central Illinois. But yeah, we're just super blessed with how much this business has grown over the past few years, as we're going to dive into here pretty soon. We just never dreamed in a million years that we would have built this to be what it is today. And so it's really kind of shaping how we're viewing our anesthesia trajectory and our careers moving forward. And so we're really excited to kind of dive into that here moving forward.
Yeah. Why don't you go ahead. Tell us, where is Core Anesthesia? Every time I say that, I think of an orthopedic group we cover, which Tanner probably knows about from Phoenix, Core Orthopedics. Different company. Tell us, where is Core Anesthesia now? What are you guys doing right now?
Yeah, so we've really shifted gears a lot in the last year. I guess to answer that question, I should really just kind of back up and explain how we started for the first part. And
sure.
when Tanner and I were in school, we would call each other on our drives to campus. And it took about 8 months, I'd say, into our program before we realized that we were pretty similar, compatible in the way that we studied. And we started just doing study sessions together. And we would call each other on our drives before an exam. And we would just discussion-based run through everything that there was about that topic before we got to campus. And we knew if we could explain it all without looking at notes, then we were ready to take the exam. And if there's any hiccups
sure.
or things on the way, that we'd quick study that when we got there. That worked great for the test. However, we realized very shortly the anesthesia school is a beast, and it's just so much information coming at you at 1,000 miles a minute and we get to the very next topic and we would forget half the information that you had just covered in the previous topic. And so we decided that we would freeze time when our brains knew something the best, and that was the day you took an exam. And so we decided to start recording our conversations, as Tanner mentioned earlier, just for our own purposes. And long story short, our classmates heard about it. They wanted us to send them the recordings. They loved it. They wanted us to start a podcast at the time. And we pushed it off for several months, and finally we decided we should just go for it. And we got some gear, some microphones, actually sat down, made some outlines about the topics, and that's what started Core Anesthesia. It was called Student Nurse Anesthesia Podcast at the time. Pretty much we ended up going through an entire curriculum for anesthesia, so any student that is currently going through can look at pretty much any topic that they want, they have a test on, and we have a whole episode designated to a discussion based everything about that topic. And the last year, though, we came out with our app, Core Anesthesia, and we've now shifted gears to really focus that towards the CRNAs as well. And so all of our content now is approved for Class A credits through the AANA for CRNAs. And so we really wanted to make one of the most convenient ways possible for CRNAs to earn their continuing education credits, because we know in this day and age just how busy we all are. And the last thing we want to do after coming home from a long day in the OR is to then take time away from our family, our friends, and trying to worry about getting all these credits lined up. How many more do I need? What conferences do I need to sign up for? So we pretty much packaged everything in this app where you can store your Class B credits when you have a student for the day. You can take your Class A credits, core modules we have on there, et cetera. And you just take a 5-question quiz after listening to our audio-based session about the topic, and we'll submit everything to the AANA for you. So that's kind of where we've shifted gears in the last few months, is really to be able to open up that market of continuing education credits for CRNAs.
And I assume since Tanner didn't say anything there, he probably made no contributions. It sounds like, Cole, you're the real head honcho here.
100%. Yes, absolutely. I sit and I keep my mic company while Cole does all the work.
Cole does all the heavy lifting. You just ask the questions.
Absolutely.
Well, how do you guys break it up? Because in full transparency, I have not heard your podcast because I don't listen. I'm like more of a different type of, like when I'm listening to podcasts, I need to think of something else other than anesthesia quite often. Yeah. Right.
You're listening to the murder podcast on your way to,
or or something like that. Right. And I get a lot of, I see you through conferences, but like you said, Cole, the market is really diversified for CEs over the past 10 years. How do you guys break up the work? Are you guys both doing the lectures or the educational aspect? Like, what are your different roles within the company?
Yeah, I think Cole initially took the outlines, and that so in school that was how we studied. So Cole would spend time making the outlines. So he's going through textbooks, sources, writing all the outlines. That's his study time, basically. I was in charge of editing at the time. And so by the time I had finished editing an episode, I'd listened to it, you know, 4 or 5 times. So that was my study time, because now I'm, you know, listening over and over and over.
Right.
And of course, there's obviously things that you need to go look in the textbook or make sure that you understand something quite right. But, you know, that was a bulk of my study time, was just the editing portion. So we kind of carried that over. Cole does a lot of the content. I did a lot of the editing. We got a social media page up and going with Instagram and Facebook. And so initially I was doing a lot of that. And as it's kind of grown, we just figure out what each of us like to do. Cole's like on it with finances and, you know, reaching out to people if we need, setting up like sponsorships for scholarships or conferences, things like that. For me, it's more of doing the editing side of things and maybe a little bit more of the creative side. And I feel like it's kept us incredibly busy. It's always more work than you think it will be. You think that, oh, we'll just, you know, crank this out and it's no big deal. And that tends to lead into something else and bump into something else. And pretty soon you're spending a lot of time doing all the different things to get an episode out or do the social media. And so I think we've just kind of figured out where it works for us. And we've had to adjust. You know, sometimes there's months. Cole just had a baby, 2 days ago? So when I had Brooks, Cole took, you know, the heavy lifting for a couple months just to make sure that we had time with family and those types of things. So it's pretty fluid, but it's been a good relationship so far.
Awesome. That's pretty neat. And you guys mentioned a conference. You guys put on a conference last summer. I was one of the guests on that. Thanks for having me on. I have the feeling that conference grew a bit larger than you were anticipating. Am I right?
Oh my word. Yeah. I think
tell me about that. I'm curious.
That's always that's the name of the game, Joe, so far, is that we don't, like, this has never been our goal. Our goal has been, you know how it is going through CRNA school. You're like, I need to wake up, I need to brush my teeth, I need to breathe, I need to make it through the OR, and I need to study. And so this was not us trying to make like some entrepreneurial like mission while we were in school. This was us trying to get through school and figure out a convenient way to study. And so this has never been like, we're terrible businessmen from that standpoint, trying to figure out like the trajectory of this company. We just one step in front of the other. And so when people started listening to it, that was the first shock. Like, why on earth would people be listening to a boring anesthesia podcast? And then we just found out people are listening to it all over, you know, tons of students are listening to CRNAs. So when we put on a conference, we really had no gauge for, you know, what is this going to be? We knew our listenership, and we thought we had a kind of an idea. Maybe, what do you think, Cole, like 200-300 people might show up.
We had somewhere around there.
Yeah. And over 1200 people signed up for that conference. And that was kind of like the first step. And that was right when we were releasing the app. That was kind of our first like, hey, I think that, you know, this is substantial enough that, you know, we want to keep at it. And we hear people that are, you know, really benefiting by it. And we feel like, you know, it's a pretty special place to be in, that you can help people through school. And I think it's just been a really fun journey, but it's never been something that we had like, this is going to happen and this is going to happen, and then we'll bring this in. I mean, we're just like, full disclosure, we're just one step at a time figuring this thing out.
One of the funny stories I had the other day, I had somebody email us that just graduated, and they sent me a copy of their diploma, and they said, you guys earned this just as much as I did. You basically earned this degree for me. And that was just so heartwarming to see that, you know, all this work that we did, for one, as Tanner said, originally was so that we could get through school and graduate. But now that we've continued this and developed this into an actual business structure, it's just so cool to see how many people it's impacting, and how our hope is that it's going to better the anesthesia community as a whole, that we're going to have better anesthesia providers coming out, better equipped and educated to be able to provide quality anesthesia. So it's just so cool to be able to see that. And just hearing after that conference last summer, when we had 1200 plus people there, some of the people were telling us around that time that how they heard about us was they came into school for their first orientation to start day one, and their directors are telling them, you guys need to download this podcast. This is going to be one of your lifesavers going through school. And that was so cool to hear.
Really?
That we've kind of saturated ourselves in the student market now. The other crazy thing is, I was looking the other day, and I think we're in like 150 countries now that we have anesthesia listeners in, which I don't even know.
Really?
Translate it out of English. I don't even know. It just blew my mind when I saw that stat, that we really have now gone across the globe with the amount of people that are listening to us. So it's just been absolutely crazy to see how much it's grown beyond what we ever thought would happen.
So you guys have grown an international audience based off this educational content.
Yeah.
Somebody the other day messaged me a question about, they were in Pakistan and they were doing a certain anesthetic and they had a question. And I was like, I have no idea, like, what has aligned for us to be having this conversation through Instagram. But yeah, it's interesting. There's just kind of wild. But
That is wild.
Yeah. And I just have to reiterate, like, we did this just to try to get through school. And everything that's come on top has just been like, just been super fun to see where it's gone. But I think it's just, I mean, I would ask you, Joe, because I think when we're looking at building a business, initially, this is what we needed in school was, hey, we're commuting all this time, we're wasting all this time in the car, why can't we use that to be studying? And then we took that and created, you know, something that filled that need. And, you know, when you know it, other people had that same need, and it's kind of taken off that way. And then CRNAs are using it now, commuting from work, using that time for their CEUs. But again, no roadmap, no trajectory, no idea when we started. We just kind of met the next need that we saw in front of us. So, I mean, I know that when you started out and you were working in the OR, and then you decided to move into your own space with leadership and creating your own company, I mean, did you have an idea of like, I need to like put these 10 things in order, and then I can call this person, and that's going to get me in the door with this, and I'm going to get a contract? Or were you just like, I think this is what I want to do, and I'm just going for it?
It was definitely the latter, not the former. You know, cause it's funny, because a lot of, and I'm sure people reach out to you too, a lot of people will say like, hey, how did you do this? Where's the playbook? Where can I read about this on the internet? And I'm just like, that doesn't exist. They're like, you know, generally I advise people to, you know, I advise people to get involved in volunteer work within the associate, my you know, one of my passions is the association and regulatory reform to improve the lot of all of us, right? And what that does then is it shows people, hey, you're not a selfish prick, right? You look out for people beyond just yourself and your immediate circle. And then, you know what? Good opportunities come, you know? Like you guys did this. I mean, you guys are a good example, right? You do this to study, right? And all of a sudden you're getting these referrals. You were willing to share that with other people. And now you're getting these referrals from around the country. So in a similar way, no, I had no plan. My big thing was everybody has different internal drives, right? And my thing, I think in my late 20s was if I'm going to spend the next 30 years doing something, right, I want to do it in a way that aligns with my internal values. And I'm not going to sit by and, you know, watch everyone else make the decisions, especially if they're not aligned with those values. So it very much the business is really just a way to live those out, right? And be in a place where we can be at the table, so to speak, not to use the cliche. But anywho, yeah. Thanks for the question. So, okay. So you start off in the program, right? And you make your podcast. Now you've got the conference, probably an annual conference. You've got the CE business growing for CRNAs themselves. Like what? Can you quantify your impact in some way? Like, are there other people doing this? Because I'm old. I've been a CRNA for over 10 years now, right? And you guys have been a CRNA for like 10 minutes. So what's going on at your end of things? What else is out there? I see a lot of prep academies. That seems super popular. Do you guys do any of that?
Yeah. No. And I think that's been our goal was, hey, first of all, we're going to do this as long as it's helpful for us to get through school. And then two, now that we're out of school, it has to become more of a passion project out of school. Because in school, when you're editing, when Cole's putting all that together, that's actually returning productivity for us because we're, you know, passing a test afterwards. Now, when we do that, there's no guarantee of anything coming back to you. This is just something that now you are creating to put out there and hopefully people resonate with it. And it's a lot of time. So now you're working in the OR and you come home and you do the recording, you do the editing, all that kind of stuff is just time. And so I don't think that, you know, from the beginning, it was always, is this going to be, you know, beneficial for us? Now that it's changed that we hear that people are using it and it's beneficial for them, you know, you ask if you can quantify. I don't think there's a really way to quantify it. But I think that on top of that, what's been helpful for us is that we have figured out what our niche is and we just stick in it. Like there's prep academies, there's several different options. We've collaborated with several of them in the past, but like that's not us. If you want to figure out how to get into CRNA school and you need help, you're not going to come to Core Anesthesia. You're going to go to a prep academy. If you want to know about current literature, science, all that kind of stuff, maybe you come to your podcast. If you want to go listen to, you know, execs talk, maybe you go to Beyond the Mask, or there's other podcasts out there. For us, we're talking about
what's Beyond the Mask? I've never heard of them. No, never heard of them. Sorry, Sharon, if you're listening. Just kidding.
Yeah.
So please continue. Yeah. Sorry. I got a little thing of the other guys.
A little jab.
I've been on that podcast. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
They're great. Yeah. And you're right. But you're right. We do have very different flavors and audiences and focuses or foci. Yes, rather.
So our impact is going to be in the genre of if you want to go over, and again, even like current, hey, this new drug's coming out. That's not really our main thing. We're talking about, do you remember which receptors this drug works on? And you're like, I've been out for 10 years. I sort of know. I know why it works, but Core Anesthesia is like, we named it that because we're going through the core principles of anesthesia. We're talking about exactly what you need to know to get through school and then what you should remember as a practicing CRNA. And so again, I think our impact is pretty, you know, localized into that genre. And there's plenty of other people out there and other really awesome, you know, resources. And we're happy to let other people do those things. We can't be all things, you know, in the anesthesia world. So,
and to spin off that too, as Tanner was mentioning, the need that we saw that we wanted when we were going through school was we wanted a way that was convenient and easy to study on the go. And as we grew, we started to realize that we had three main categories of people listening to us. We had CRNAs that had been out for a while and they were trying to review all the main principles. Plus, if there were new things being taught in school, like let's say ultrasound techniques, ultrasound skill sets, a lot of the older CRNAs were not trained in ultrasound, but that's common practice now in school. And so we did things based on ultrasound. We designed things so that CRNAs that want to come back and listen to the core roots of things, it's detailed enough that it's still beneficial for CRNAs and it's still impactful for them to review and to learn something new. But we also designed it in a way that students going through for the first time, it's not way over their head, that they're able to maximize their studying from that. And we also dumbed it down enough that people that are in the ICU, our third main group of people that are trying to get into anesthesia school or trying to figure out if anesthesia is even something they want to study, that it's not way over their head. It's something that they can actually utilize. And so those are kind of our three main audiences. And that's what we strive with each episode, is to find that perfect balance of where it's detailed enough for the CRNA that's reviewing it to get something out of it, but it's also dumbed down enough and easy to remember for somebody for the first time.
Sure. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Of the 1,200 people, so you were anticipating 300 people on that conference initially, right? And you ended up with around four times that. Of those 1,200, how many were learners, people who are currently in a CRNA program? Do you have that breakdown or not?
So that conference specifically that we did was directed specifically for students. So that was a student-only conference. So those were all students, but we also had a handful of ICU nurses that reached out to us saying, hey, we just got accepted. Can we come to this before we even start school? So we also had a handful of them as well. So that first main conference that we did was just strictly, it was a free conference for students. And it really was designated around the idea of, look, Tanner and I graduated at that time, about a year previous. And we said, these are the things that we wish we would have known about when we were in school before we graduated. Mm-hmm. And we purposely designed the curriculum of that conference and the different speakers with you included in that to talk about things that we would have wished we would have known about. And I think we had a great turnout because of that. We were able to make it free for students because we know students, you know, are obviously not in the best financial state at the end of anesthesia school. And then, but we wanted to bring that most impactful in terms of topics that was going to be beneficial to them.
Do you know, this is just a random question, but do you guys know how many people are enrolled in a CRNA program across the country at any given time? Do you happen to have any idea there?
I believe it's close to like 7,000. Do you know?
I think you're right. Yeah, because I think we graduate around 3,000 or so every year, right? So 2.5, 3 times, somewhere around that. But I mean, 1,200 people, that's a big chunk of those people who are in their program.
Oh, man. For sure. That's what's so humbling about it is you put something out there that you hope is beneficial. And then when it is, and people say, you know, we have people that will message us on Instagram, they're like, hey, you helped me get through my cardiac rotation. I was really nervous about it. And I'm like, I'm golfing. I'm not doing anything. I'm like, you know, on a day off, and somebody's saying like, hey, this is really meaningful. And that's the beauty of a podcast, is like, you can create something, it stays there, and then people encounter it at different times. And so, that's what's really fun, is you just get these kind of reminders of why you're doing it and why it's helpful.
That's the beauty too of how we set it up, where now it's just a full curriculum. So you have students that are coming in and maybe their program's going through neuroanesthesia in the fall and the other program's going through it in the spring. So people don't simply just listen to our newest episode. We have people just downloading all across the board, whatever they're at in their curriculum. But as you were kind of saying, with the 1,200 of the, you know, between 7,000 and 9,000 students, whatever it may be in America at the time, it's crazy now that we've just seen it become so much more saturated that I would say on a weekly to monthly basis, we probably have about 3/4 of the students in America now that are listening to us, which once I saw that stat, I was just, blew me away. Yeah, just blew me away.
So you're getting on a podcast, you're getting around 5,000 or so downloads or something like that?
Yeah, and it might not happen the first time we release it.
Of course. It goes through the cycle.
So throughout the year, whenever the students cover that topic, we'll see a jump in that episode. But yeah,
you can see that in the first 30 days of when you release it. They say how many unique people have listened to it. And we've gotten to the point now where it's between like 5,000 and 6,000 of like unique people that are listening to it in the first 30 days. And then obviously that continues to go. But yeah, it's just crazy. Never would have envisioned
that. Is anybody else doing this sort of, because it really seems like you're building, you know, you have an audience with people who are in their program, and then you continue that relationship afterwards for CE. Is there anybody else doing this?
Yeah.
Like, I don't really know. Yeah. I'm genuinely curious. Yeah.
There's other companies, as Tanner mentioned, that have different kind of spinoffs with different continuing education and things like that. But as we said, when we were in school, this was a gap that we felt need to be filled. Right. And so we were the first ones at the time to do it. There's maybe one or two other things that we've seen kind of start to build up, but nowhere near as saturated as us now. But I would say, as you mentioned, you hit the nail on the head. We, like, my goal now from a business standpoint is, now that we've created primarily this first round of our business was for students, and now that we shifted into the CRNA side of things, our goal is to be able to form that relationship with students, have them utilize our resources, and hopefully they like our resources. And we tell people, everybody's different in the way you learn.
Sure.
You don't learn by audio. There are other resources out there. Ours is purely audio. So you're not going to find visual graphics, in-person things. Ours is simply an easy way to study on the go. And we hope to be relatable in the way that we do that. And I think that's why so many people are continue to use us, is because they relate to us. But then our hope, exactly as you said, is once they graduate, that they would continue to utilize us for their continuing education credits. And as we've kind of saturated the student market, we hope to continue that into the CRNA market over the next 10, 15 years. It's kind of our goal moving forward.
But yeah, like a lifelong learning type approach. I can't call them students. I just can't do it. Yeah. So, but I know it's not a common term everywhere. So because we use nurse anesthesia residents where I'm at. So for those in their program, see how I phrase that? Just that way doesn't even bring up the topic. For those in their program, are they customers or are they just listening? Like, fill that in for me.
You can be both. We have probably 3/4 of our staff that is just on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, wherever you podcast, you can find Core Anesthesia. And then we offer additional things. So if you're a student and you want to do a monthly subscription, that's $4.99. The year, I believe, Cole, is $49.99 for a year. So it's just a little discounted. But that gives you like PDFs for every episode as well, which allows you to be able to, you know, print those off if you're in a case, or if you're, you know, in between cases and you want like a hard copy, or if you're somewhere you don't feel like you want to be listening to audio. So there's quite a bit more involved there. And then same for CRNAs, we offer them their monthly. You can do a monthly subscription or you can do a yearly subscription. The difference with CRNAs is that you can take as many CEUs as you can in whatever amount of time. There's no contracts or anything like that. So we have CRNAs that will come use our stuff for a couple months, get the CEUs they need, and then, you know, come back the next year, you know, whatever that looks like. Or a lot of people just like the ease of having a quick resource. Maybe it's been a minute since you've done neuroanesthesia or something. You can quick listen to that episode as you're driving into work that day. It's a quick refresher. And so a lot of people will just do yearly so they can have that kind of touch point.
Sure. Just grab and go.
Yeah, for sure.
Cool.
So yeah, it's been, I think, a good model that allows people to have flexibility, and then allows them also, if you feel like you learn better some other way or something else, you know, there's easy to do that as well.
Good for you guys. Very cool, man. I love what you guys are doing. Well, guys, this has been really cool. We'll have to have you on again and talk about how this is continuing to grow and change and whatever the next evolution for Core Anesthesia. It's good that the company's in one of those I states, because again, every time I think of it, I think of Core Orthopedics, and that's, you know, yeah, not the same.
Yeah. Yeah. Surprisingly, not the only Core company out there. It's been Core Anesthesia was a little bit of a niche, but lots of cores out there.
Mm-hmm. It's working for you guys. Well, guys, thanks for being on. I really appreciate it. All right.
Thank you, Joe, for having us. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you bet.
Yeah.
That's all for this episode of Anesthesia Deconstructed. For more information based on today's discussions, be sure to visit us at anesthesia-deconstructed.com. You'll also gain access to our blogs, editorials, and more resources to keep you updated on the science, politics, and realities of today's medical industry. That's anesthesia-deconstructed.com.